Good, by the way. 1 Corinthians will be in chapter 12. We'll look at verses 12 through 31. But the first 11 verses of this chapter deal with some of the gifts of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, the giver of gifts. We receive gifts, and everyone has a gift, but we can't earn gifts. And sometimes I think we can find ourselves trying to earn God's pleasure, earn his endowing gifts upon us. But a gift is simply a gracious endowment from God for the benefit of his church body. The gifts of the Spirit should draw our attention to Jesus, not to the gift. The gift is simply that, a gift. Not to a person or some godly behavior, perhaps, of that person. For the Holy Spirit distributes to each one of us individually as he wills. We can't particularly choose our gift. It's a gift from God. Your gift and my gift are for the edification of the body. Therefore, we ought to glorify God when we see or when we witness the gifts in another person. Paul, he will explain the practicality of gifts in verses 12 through 27 of chapter 12. So let's read these verses. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of the one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. For if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? For if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleases. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have not need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God has composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. The gifts of the Spirit, the workings of those gifts, are to unify the body of Christ. Now, we in the Christian faith have many, many denominations. And in the Christian church, it seems that each denomination focuses and emphasizes what they deem the critical issues. I read a while back where a gifted teacher spent his entire career teaching from the book of Hebrews. Never got out of Hebrews, stayed in Hebrews for years. For me, that's putting a limit on how God has given us the entire Bible. The Word, the 66 books of the Bible, are all for our edification. But we have others who concentrate on the Old Testament, and then we have many that concentrate on the New Testament. But we are to study the entire Bible. All of it is God's Word to us. On Friday evening, Sam has taken us through the book of Job. On Sundays, we're in Corinthians. So we're in the Old and we're in the New Testament. And all Scripture is for our benefit. The same can be said of spiritual gifts. Paul will use examples of the body, the human body, in his illustrations, and how they are many members of the church body with a great diversity of body parts and purposes. And Paul will start with the foot. Now, my wife has pretty toes. She gets pedicures. She has pretty toes. My toes are long and slender, not skinny, slender, almost like fingers. It's been said I could deal cards with my feet. Not quite, but they are long. And we have one member of our body here who is missing a big toe. And I would have never known he was missing that toe except he mentioned in conversation. But the big toe is the balance of the whole foot. Lori's cousin, who was just in a motorcycle accident, lost her right big toe in the accident. And she will have to compensate the rest of her life on balancing that foot, that side of her body, without the big toe. But toes are not hands. We have fingers. We have dexterity in our fingers, and we do many good things with our hands. The trades, people that are involved with the trades, use their hands quite often. And then Paul will move on to the ear and say how it cannot say, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye. We seem to put great emphasis on seeing. Many of us wear glasses. Some of us have had LASIK surgery. And we place a premium on eyesight. I've had LASIK. I like it. And it's been done to my eyes, and I have good faraway vision up close. My prints are big, where I can read them. To me, being blind is perhaps the greatest of handicaps. But Paul, he goes on to say, but the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The weaker parts of the body are also very necessary, those unpresentable parts. Also, the members of our body, we sometimes give lesser attention to, but we should give them perhaps greater honor. Now, that brings me to a subject I have difficulty with. LGBTQ. How can the parents of a young person permit or even encourage sex change operations and medication for those changes? I am completely against those kind of procedures. Call me old-fashioned, call me what you will, but I'm against it. You want to know what sex orientation you are? Look in your underwear. There it is. Look, you can see what sex orientation you are. But we have psychologists, we have liberal thinkers willing to change a child's sex before they grow into adulthood. My personal opinion is the promotion of sexual activities and the glorious feeling, the euphoric feeling of sex. A young person can be so programmed in today's world that when they experience sex, no lights or whistles went off. And they can feel inadequate. And their sexual state can be up for question. And they want that euphoric feeling that they've seen in movies or have been told about. And they can come to a conclusion, I must be of the wrong gender. What a fateful decision that is upon a young person. But let me tell you, the LGBTQ is an affront to God, our Creator. It goes against Him. Verse in 24 states, God composed our body in this way that we were created and we are not mistakes. God created you the way you are. Adjust to it, live with it. Now the animal kingdom, we can see species reproducing in their own species and becoming better. Horses with horses, cows with cows. You knew I'd work cows in there, didn't you? Cats and dogs with their own. Now, there is refinement within these species. For instance, I have baldy cows. What's a baldy cow? It's a half Hereford, half Black Angus cow. And the baldies that we have develop eye problems because in the Hereford line, they have weak eyes. And I have a cow right now that has a kind of a tumor, a wart growing on one of her eyes. And it may have to have that eye removed, but it doesn't hinder her from being a good mama cow. And she is a good mother cow. And she takes care of her calves. But Paul, he will go on to say, we, you and I, are members of the body of Christ. But yet, we can have some of our own personal body parts missing. We mentioned toes. And then there's some with not all 10 fingers. How about kidneys? You can live good with one kidney. Recently, a friend of mine developed cancer in his bladder. Up to Vanderbilt he went, the bladder was removed, and he's able to function without a bladder, thanks to medical science. So Paul uses our physical body as an example for us working together with one another. Now let me read verses 28 through 31. For in the church there is the appointment of offices. And Paul will get into this. Verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, chief teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And with this conclusion of chapter 12, Paul gets into the different ministries that we have within the body of Christ. And first he mentions apostles. Paul himself was an apostle. A classic, unique calling. And I believe the apostles were necessary there for the early church, for the formation of the church. But I do not think the office of apostleship is necessarily present today. Personal opinion, I don't see the need for apostles today. And not, at, you know, in the same capacity as was it there in the early church. Apostles were called. They were there to set the foundation of the early church. And one of the requirements to be an apostle was you had to have seen the risen Christ, which Paul experienced on the road to Damascus in his conversion. So for me, the ministry of apostleship within the body of Christ has already happened, or it was there in the early church. Next, he talks about prophets, men and women called to speak forth for God is a prophetic calling. A person to be a prophet had to be 100% accurate, especially when we look at them in the Old Testament. A few years back, there was a school for prophets. I think it was in St. Louis. And you were rated on how many of your prophecies came to fulfillment. If you had a rating of 85%, you were considered a master prophet. Not in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you had to be 100% accurate every time. But this rating of 85% gave you man's approval as a master prophet. Then we come to the working of miracles. Not in and of themselves were the workers of the miracles, but this was promoted by the Holy Spirit, the workers of miracles. Next we have pastor teachers. That's me, pastor teacher. I do not believe teachers are necessarily to be preachers. I think there's pastor and teacher. A teacher is supposed to be able to expound upon God's word. And then we have what we call gifts of healing, where the Holy Spirit uses a particular gift, a miracle, in healing. And then we come to the gift of administrations. I think many Calvaries fail because the gift of administrations is not there. I was in business 12 years. I didn't belong in business. I found this out after a lot of heartaches and debts and so forth. But in that 12 years, I learned to be an administrator of that business. And I think God used that, preparing me for when I would be a pastor teacher. And I think it's a necessary gift for a church to function properly. The function of a church, Paul has some questions about it. And he asks what I call a rhetorical question. And he asks, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret tongues? No. So you have Paul purposely listing a gifts, the gifts and how they're distributed, and he's quick to say no one has all the gifts. A list of ministries that no one person has all of them. But however, Paul by the Holy Spirit tells us, seek and desire the best gift. That's chapter 13. That's coming up next week. It's the love chapter. How we're to have God's love being manifested in us. God's love is known as agape love. A love that is no self-motivation in it whatsoever. There's no me in agape love. It's others-centered totally and completely. And we will get into that next week. And it is the quote-unquote best of the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, I would pray that we, your people, would be open to the giving of gifts by your Spirit. We want to function, go forth in anything you call us to, long as we see you there leading us and guiding us. So, Lord, pour out your gifts upon us. Exercise those gifts within our body. Let us be that iron sharpening iron. Let us be encouraging and calling for growth, maturity in our body in the ways that you want to work it out, Lord. It's not ours to determine what gift you will give us, but you give gifts according to your will. And so, Lord, let us be open to the giving of your gifts, the edification of one another by the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Let us walk in those gifts, Lord, and not let us shy away or faint away from them, but not to be boasting of the gifts, for they're that, gifts. But let us function properly in the gifts of your Spirit. And Lord, as we will look at next week, let us love each other with agape love. Let us be known for our love for one another. And Lord, so do that in our hearts and lives. Give us your agape love. And we pray and ask for this in the name of Jesus.